Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents the Betches Brides podcast, a show for the wedding obsessed and the brides who are stressed. Because after all, it's only one day of your life.
Hello, and welcome back to Betches Brides. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I'm Nicole Pellegrino.
And we are back. Nicole, what is up? What's new? What's going on with your wedding?
Yeah, lots is new. With my wedding, planning still full. I'm starting to get into the details, which is exciting. I talked to a couple decor vendors last week, like rental companies. For like tablecloths and flatware and dishes and stuff. I didn't realize how much that'll all kind of add up. just add it to the list, really. But that's exciting because that's like actually pulling the vision together.
Right. That's, I feel like, what actually makes it like come right together more than like the standard of whatever like comes in. And I went through that a few weeks ago. And I booked my rental company is actually also doing my flowers. So that was nice to be able to like combine, but I was excited. I was happy about that just because I felt like they would create like a unified vision. Right. And they're called Cantero. You guys should check them out on Instagram. They're very cool. So they have like, it's for destination weddings, but I was happy that they're doing both the flowers and the rentals. Cause I have, like I said this before, I have very bad like vision for things coming together. So I thought like, okay, if they're doing both, they can like figure that out how those, the table stuff will come together with like the florals and stuff.
Right. They can do the whole table, like the whole tablescape with the centerpieces and everything. That's smart. Cause then you're not having to like have a billion different vendors for the wedding. It's like more vendors should try to bundle things like that. I think I'm going to try to look into like if we need any specific like lighting, I'm going to try to use the talent agency where we got, where we're getting our band from for that. To kind of streamline things. Yes.
Yeah. I think that's great. And I changed my bachelorette location, but we planned it.
Oh, yeah.
We booked flights and did a house. We're going to Lake Tahoe. I'm excited. I've never been there. So if you guys have any recommendations for bachelorette specific stuff, DM me at Jordana Abraham. I would love any fun recommendations you guys have. If you've been to any of the like bars, I'm just really excited to do a boat.
Yeah. I feel like everybody, I've never been either, but I feel like it just looks fun for like tubing and boat kind of stuff on the lake.
Very like scenic and boaty. And I'm from New York, so I don't, it feels very exotic, even if it's not, if you're from like California or something. So it feels cool. Oh, and exciting news, Nicole, did you see the news that I just saw like 15 minutes ago about vaccines in New York?
Yes. That you can get them if you're over 16 now or after April 8th.
I believe it's April 8th is over 16, but if you're old like me, then I'm pretty sure if you're 30 plus, we actually are recording this a week in advance. So tomorrow for us is March 30th. It will already be passed. This is coming out on April 5th. So if you're listening to this now and you are under 30 and you live in New York, tomorrow you will be eligible for the vaccine. And if you're 30, you will already have been eligible for 6 days. So, us over 30-year-olds get a week on you guys, but that's great news. I think all over the country, eligibility is like really opening up to anyone who wants a vaccine. So I think for anyone with those summer weddings, that's like a very promising statistic. Mm-hmm. I know my bachelorette is at the end of June. So like, I'm definitely making sure that every single person on that bachelorette has been vaccinated by then. I think it's very, very possible at this point.
Same. Mine is in July. So that'll be exciting. That way I won't have to get like a COVID test in Mexico before coming back.
Right. You still might have to get the test, but I think it'll be less. As someone who's having their wedding in Mexico, I'm not sure when they're going to like ease up on that testing requirement or like you can show vaccine and get out of it. But at least you know that when you go, you won't test positive because you're vaccinated. So you can come, so you won't have to have a fear that you'll be stuck there. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. That'd be good. Cause that's all I need on my bachelorette is to get stuck after it in Mexico.
Exactly. And to get COVID on your bachelorette.
Yeah. Right. That would happen with my luck of wedding related things that would happen. God forbid, knock on wood. But no, that's exciting. I mean, the thing I'm especially excited about this vaccine news, and I hope where I'm getting I need to check in where I'm getting married in Maryland. Like, how many people are allowed to get the vaccine right now there? And I live in New Jersey, so not even sure if the New York rules apply to me. But the thing about getting married in Maryland, I did talk to my vendor as one of my recent updates. I talked to my venue. And they were saying they're still at that 150 person limit. And they were like, but if you have any more people, we can put them like in the hallway. And honestly, my venue coordinator, she's super nice. She's like, she was trying to like make it sound great. She was like, we make it really nice. Like, we open the doors. Like, it doesn't even feel like they're in the hallway. Like, they're not allowed to be in the main ballroom area. And my like jaw dropped. And I was like, no offense, but no, like, I will just cut down to, I will just cut the, like, yeah, right now we have around like 180 on our list inviting. So chances are not all those people will even be able to come. We might net out at around 150 anyways, but I was like, I'll make sure of
also,
it.
Also, like, the rules can might change by then though.
Right.
It's like,
right.
What, 6 months away, a little less.
Yeah,
less than 6 months away. Oh my god, is it that
close? I need to.
Is that close? It seems far to me. I'm saying there's so many things that could happen and change, and like capacity limits that can change by then. Like, think about it. If like the country reaches herd immunity by then, it might not even be an issue.
I know. That's what we were saying. Like, Mike was like, calm down, it won't even be an issue. But I was like, God forbid it is, I'm not putting people in the hallway. I think it's happening.
And if you have 180 and like, I feel like if the restriction is still there with the 150 restriction by September, then there will be more people that don't come because it will mean that it's not like totally okay. And like, you know what I mean? Then there will be people who naturally drop off anyway. So I think you'll be fine.
It's funny that you say that because I posted today on the Betches Brides account. It was like, tell me you're a bride in 2021 without telling me you're a bride in 2021. And somebody was like, somebody commented and was like, I have no idea if 120 people or 40 people will actually come to my wedding. It's so true. Like, you don't know if people are going to like say yes and whatnot.
Right. But. And another thing I would say is like, I have to look up through the CDC restrictions in the state of New York and the state of Maryland. That's like another way.
Yeah. I have to like become a CDC restrictions expert in every state at this point.
Exactly.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Newly. Newly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. So Newly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any 6 styles. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. There are no parameters. You get access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees. There's no late fees, no damage fees, no fees to pause or cancel. So no big deal if you like lose a button. Uh-oh, I spilled something on it. Or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing all the way up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Newly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Newly when you sign up with the code BRIDES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Newly with 2 U's and enter the code BRIDES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com. Newly with 2 U's with code BRIDES20. Newly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
And guys, real quick, before we get into our episode, I have to tell you some exciting news for any of you Bravo fans out there who like, you know, watching Real Housewives, Summer House, all those Vanderpump Rules, all those fun Bravo shows. We're launching a new Bravo newsletter presented by Skinny Pop with episode recaps, all things about Bravo celebrities and cringeworthy Bravo moments. Be sure to sign up at betches.co/Bravo newsletter.
Let's get into our show. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about a lot of things today, but especially we're talking about gift giving, which we've gotten a ton of questions about lately, and just like overall guest etiquette, like how are you supposed to act as a guest, you know?
I like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Should I read the first email?
Yes, let's do it.
The first listener writes in, "Hi, ladies. I just started listening to the podcast and I love it. I'm 26 and very single, but my friends have begun getting engaged. So I've been listening to your podcast to learn more." That's great. It's not just for the brides to be, but anyone who is going to a lot of weddings, this podcast is helpful for you. So email us, brides@betches.com. Anyway, she writes, "I'm not sure if you've covered this topic, but what is the gift etiquette for attending weddings of people you aren't super close with? This topic has come up in my friend group and we are not sure if we should be expected to buy something off the registry, give a cash gift of the estimated price per head, and or something else. For reference, many of my friends and I are also in medical school, so we do not have our own incomes. Would love to hear this discussion on the podcast. Also wishing both you both and your fiancés all the best during this wild wedding year. Best, young, single, and broke."
Aren't we all? Except for the young part. Actually, not single either. So never mind. Just broke. Okay. Well, yeah.
Actually, okay. In a relationship, and yeah. I am very young, but
I can't. I try to relate, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay. We actually... My favorite source for information is, of course, our audience. All these other publications out there write all these articles. I don't know where they're getting their info, but we get a lot of our info from the Betches Brides audience because you guys have like the best opinions on things and like you're real people going to real weddings. So
right. We
like getting our info from you and just like thoughts.
And also, like, if you're following the Betches Brides community, either on Instagram or listening to this podcast, you have a similar sensibility to others who also want their wedding content through the Betches filter of like fun, not taking yourself too seriously, but like also want to learn something and like kind of know the rules. So I think it's great. We're a great source for that because you know that like you're not getting every single person in the world's view, you're getting like the specific Betchy mindset view.
Right.
Polling.
The tell it how it is view. Exactly. Right. So we did a poll like months and months ago. Honestly, I need to do a more updated one. And I will actually, by the time this episode comes out, you'll have one. So yay. But we asked people like, what are you giving as gifts? Like how much should you be giving or what should you be giving? And I've got to say, looking through now, I don't think, you know, again, we did this months ago. I don't think the answers would change too much by now, but general, I know this person in the email is asking like if you're not super close with them, but we'll start with kind of like general thoughts on how much to give for a gift. A lot of people were saying like around $150 per person. That was the most given answer. And that's kind of like safely can estimate like around that per plate. And I know some of you might come at us and be like, that's so expensive. Or even some people might think it's too cheap. I'm just relaying info. But yeah, a lot of people said like general gift giving, you can safely say like $150 per person. So for couples, it would be like $300, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, here's my, what are your thoughts on the like pay for my plate thing?
I kind of have always just like heard people say that and I'm like, right. Yeah, I think that is a good, but it's hard to like estimate how much the plate is.
First of all, like I'm sure the plate is a lot more than you think it will be, even if it seems like it's not that much.
Right.
But I don't necessarily think that that's the way to go about it because like, what are we supposed to give more money for weddings that are more expensive? Like,
right.
I think I don't really think that you should do that. I think you should give your gift based on your closeness to the bride and groom.
Right.
And I mean, obviously it's not the idea of covering your plate. I feel like makes the whole thing feel very like transactional and not like mm-hmm. about like a gift of like feeling.
Sentimental, right.
So I don't love that cover your plate feeling, but interesting that you said 150. I always, that's usually like, if that's usually the lowest I will give if I'm like not, mm-hmm. if I'm like not that good friends with someone, but like I went, and I, you know, I like them enough to go to the wedding, but we're not like particularly right. close. That's right, how much right. I would give. I've heard a lot of people give a lot less than that.
I know.
I think it's very like, it varies a lot. You know,
this is one of those things I think varies a lot. Somebody even commented, like, I'm from Toronto and I'm sure it's similar in New York where anything under $100 is considered kind of tacky. And I think, mm-hmm. so I think that this does vary. There's a ton of factors, like location based. It might be different in different areas, friend group based. I'm the first one to go to my friends and be like, yo, how much are you giving for this wedding? Cause I want right. to make sure I'm on par. Like,
well, you're also lucky because now like, you don't have to be the first. You're one of the first ones getting married. You don't have to be like the first one to do it. And you right. can just give everyone back whatever they wind up giving you. So oh, like right. that makes it, that's always the easiest. Cause it's kind of, and for me, I'm always thinking like, okay, whatever I give to someone, I'm just going to get back. So it doesn't even yeah. really matter.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's exactly. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have a list. I'm going to be like, so-and-so gave me 150. So literally a whole list. So
it just aside from being like petty, I actually think that helps make you like, it just makes the choice so much easier. Like, okay, I'm just mm-hmm. looking how much they gave me and I'm looking how much I gave them. But like, I think there's also some other things to consider of like, you know, are they a person who's like this person who's writing in, who's in school, mm-hmm. who can't really afford to give that much. Maybe if I, like me not being in school and having, you know, maybe a larger income than someone who would be in school might, if she was getting married a few years from now and I was like, you know, more well-to-do, I might give her more because like right. I'm in a different stage of my life. And I understand that I got married earlier when she was unable to do that. Right. So I don't think it has to be like tit for tat, but it's definitely a good starting point if you're the first to get married.
Right. Right. For sure.
And I think, and I agree. I always ask my friends, like, what are you giving? What are you giving? Mm-hmm. And I would add more if I'm in yeah. the bridal party.
Yes, that's a big thing that everybody agreed on too with the audience. It's like a known thing. If you're in the bridal party, you're kind of expected to give a little more.
Right.
Or a better gift. And my thing is, she's asking too, like, do I get something off the registry? Like, I'm pretty sure, I can't remember specifically like what or who we did this, but Mike and I have done that for like weddings when we're like feeling poor and like we can't give a ton of money. We still get nice items off the registry that we know the people want, but it's like yeah. you, that way it's like an item and you don't have to make sure it's exactly how much money you give. So that I think sometimes yeah. isn't a good option, even though we always say that like the bride and groom actually just want cash.
I think it's fine to get them a registry gift if you're not that close with them and you kind of just want it to be more of like a gesture of I'm giving you a gift and like, mm-hmm. again, it's not like so particular about the amount. Like if you don't have the money for an expensive gift and you don't have the money for an expensive gift, I would get something off the registry. I think that's like fine. And also like they can always like return that and get something else. Like they have a registry. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay to do that. I wouldn't be like offended by getting that. Also, if I'm not going to a wedding, I'll usually get something small from the registry and send it to the person.
Yes. That's the that's if you're not going to the wedding, that's the best thing to do. Go to the registry right away because people do that. It gets bought up quickly, and get them a little something off the registry. That way it's like still celebrating you, but I'm not going to just like send you a bunch of random cash in the mail. One thing right. that the audience did bring up, I'm just seeing now in my screenshots, some people say that if you are in the wedding party and you've gone on the expensive bachelorette and given a really good gift at the bridal shower, you actually could get away with giving less at the wedding.
I've heard that too. I kind of feel like it's the opposite. Like you should give more because you're like more involved in their life. But again, I think you'll get back. It's very, wedding gifts are very karmically good like that. Like you're just going to get back whatever you right. give. So if you want to go, I mean, if you want to give less, you'll just get less. I think it's like,
right, right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And I think like you're saying too, you said at one point, like we're all at different stages of our lives. Like this listener in particular is saying she's like 26, single and broke. So I do think like it, give what you can. I'm not going to say like you're tacky if you don't give this much. Like, give what you can. Know the general rules of thumb. A lot of people did say, like, and you know, our bride's audience is from all over. A lot of people did say like $100 is fine. So I think, you know, give what you can, especially if you're not that close.
And if you and a bunch of your medical school friends are all going and are all kind of broke, you can all go in on like one bigger registry item that kind of like seems like more of a bigger gift.
Oh, that's smart.
And then it's like, oh, we're getting you this large gift, but it's like from a bunch of people. I think that sometimes that's like smart. Nice. Like something someone else might not get you because it's like too expensive on its own.
Right, right. That's actually really smart. Some people did that for my sister's bridal shower now that I'm remembering. And she was like very thankful because she was like, this is a huge gift. No one was probably
no one would ever, no one would ever buy the like $700 vacuum that you have that I have on my registry.
So the Dyson.
Like, yeah. If everyone wants to get into it, like I would be fine with that.
Yes. Everybody if everybody chips in $1, we can get Jordana.
That was not a call for everyone to buy me the vacuum, but you know, if it shows up on my door, I won't send it back. Should we do another one?
Yes, let's do it. Hi, Jordana and Nicole. I love your guys' take on all things weddings and I need your help. Basically, I really don't like my fiance's best man's girlfriend. He started dating her a couple years ago and from the first night we met, we didn't hit it off well. We've gotten into a couple arguments and they've even broken up a couple of times for other non-related toxic reasons. My fiance and I don't approve of her and we don't particularly enjoy being around her, but we tolerate it because it's his best friend's life and he can be with who he wants, but it just feels very fake. Now that we're going to be doing all these wedding things, I'm worried that this is going to cause drama. For a while, I was insisting that we don't invite her to the wedding because I shouldn't have to worry about any drama coming up on that day. But after speaking with my fiance about it, he thought it would cause even more drama to not invite her. What do you guys think? Should I just give in and let her come to the wedding? Also, we're planning on having our wedding at a big estate and having our wedding party stay a few nights with us. Is it weird to invite her to the wedding but not invite her to stay with us? Help. Thank you and love the podcast. I've recommended it to two of my other friends who are engaged. Oh, we love a word of mouth recommendation.
That's great. We hope you guys like it.
Yes.
So I think she should invite her to all of it as his, because she's not inviting her. She's inviting the best man's significant other. Mm-hmm. So it's not about her. I feel like in this case, it's not really about their meaning to her. It's about their meaning to the person that is meaningful to them, which is the best man. And like, I don't really think that we want to get into the position of like judging every relationship of every person in the bridal party to be like, well, like that one I approve of and that one I don't. Like, it's not really, it's like his thing. If he's happy with her, then that's on him and it's his decision. So I think, to me, the right thing to do would be to give him a plus one and that's her, then that's her, and like let him bring whoever he feels will be a good plus one for him.
Right, right. And she doesn't need to feel compelled to like become best friends just because this is the best man and it looks like, it's the best man's girlfriend that we're worried about. She doesn't have to like become best friends with her and invite her to like the other stuff. Like, what did she say? Stay a few nights with us. Is it weird? Like, she doesn't have to like, I think she, like you said, like you're inviting him, the best man, and he gets his guest. But on the invitation, I would say just out of respect, like if it's a known thing that he is going to invite her, I would put like her name. Yeah. Not I just agree. Like and guest.
No, I agree. I think I said that meaning like she is like, she's coming as his guest. But not, you should write her name if they've been dating, because that would be like very passive aggressive not to. But
yeah. But if suddenly they broke up, she wouldn't be coming. Like she's not, we don't like just her. But
yeah,
I agree. She said at one point in this email, she's worried that the girl's going to like cause drama at the wedding. If that's still a factor, I would say like maybe just say something to the best man. If she does have like a historical past of like starting drama at weddings and events and stuff, or just starting drama, you could say to the best man, like, look, just want to make sure Susan is behaves at the wedding.
Right. Like, yeah. You could have your, I wouldn't say it to her, to him myself. I would have your fiance say it to him and be like, just, you know, mm-hmm. We just want to make sure everything's running smoothly. But I don't know if she's talking about drama between like the two of them in their relationship or the drama that she would cause with like other people around her. I would say if it's like their relationship drama, like that's not your problem. Like you probably won't even notice that. You'll be so into like whatever wedding activities you're going to be so distracted by everything going on your wedding that you're not going to notice if the two of them are fighting. Like, again, that's not your problem. I wouldn't like really worry about that. You can't control that. If you're worried about her starting fights with like the other people in the bridal party, that's a different story where you should say something, but you would have to be like kind of a real lunatic to be like, for people to be worried that you were doing that. So,
right. Yeah, that would be like, no, toxic girl. I do think it plays into a larger theme of like us brides thinking that we need to like be so accommodating to our groomsmen's dates and plus one. Like Mike's best man has a girlfriend. I've heard great things about her. They live in Arlington, Virginia. I haven't met the girlfriend yet. And I'm like, I'm looking forward to meeting her, but it's his best man's, girlfriend. Right. And, so I'm excited. I haven't physically met her yet, but she's invited to the wedding.
Yeah. And I don't think any significant others of like bridal party people are expecting to be like the ones getting any attention. Like if I'm going to a wedding with one of my friends that I'm not that close with, I'm not like, and I need to like, and the bride will be like hanging out with me. Like I would just assume I would be doing like my own thing.
Right. I do remember I went to a wedding with Mike as his guest once where I hadn't met the bride and groom, and like the night before the bride came up to me and was like, well, I was like, thank you so much for inviting me, like I know this is the first time we're meeting, and she was like, well, you're a huge part of Mike's life, so you're naturally a huge part of ours now, because, and I was like, you're sweet, so nice. I'm probably not going to be that nice as bride,
right. Well, it's the whole thing, it's like she's not, I mean, but I'm saying she's kind of like, it's not, it doesn't take anything away from her, even if she doesn't know you, it's not taking anything away to have you there, it's just making her, someone who's important to her, happier,
right,
because you're there, which is important to her, like the person's happiness is important to her, therefore you coming and feeling welcome is important to her,
right,
which is a nice bridal attitude.
Exactly.
Let's do one more.
Yes. Okay. It's a three-parter.
Well, should we do them individually, each part?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, Nicole and Jordana, thank you guys for everything. You guys helped me through the pandemic planning and made me feel normal for all the ups and downs. Jake and I got engaged March 8th, so basically as long as the pandemic, hoping to get married in September. Sorry for all the questions. I wanted to email you guys so many times, but restrained myself. I've settled on three questions and any advice would be greatly appreciated. One. Maid of honor / bachelorette party. Advice on handling over the planning reins to your maid of honor / bridesmaids. I booked our house and initiated planning, so trying to pass the responsibilities on. I also just found out that my maid of honor is leaving early through a different friend. I totally understand not everyone has time off, but I was a little hurt, especially with the lack of help planning. She's reached out to help. We just need to connect. Do I say anything or just move on?
Yes. So I think she can definitely say something, and I would open it up to the whole group, and like maybe there's somebody in your group of bridesmaids or friends that historically like loves planning trips for themselves and for others, and maybe try to like make it seem as you're like doing them a favor. Like, hey, Christina, I know you love planning like trip itineraries. Would love for you to like, if you'd like if you want to have fun and do mine, I'd love for you to do that, and kind of like put the responsibility on someone else. But I think she should say something. I think
about the friend who left early, or mean it in general.
In general, but yeah, she should say something to her. I think I'd be like, hey, I just found out you're leaving early. Like, that's fine. Just want to make sure we're on the same page and whatnot. Because obviously, if she's leaving early from like the house, maybe she doesn't have to pay. I don't know. That's kind of, I'd iron that out with her.
I would. So I think it's kind of weird to ask someone to plan something for you. I think that's like a big ask, no one is volunteering to do that.
Right.
I think you can ask for help with something, but I don't think you can ask someone to like do it. I think it's a little bit, And maybe people disagree with me. I think it's a little entitled to be like, and will you just plan this whole trip for me? Like that you didn't want to do. Like I just wouldn't do it. I would, if no one offered, I would just do it myself.
Right.
But I think what you could do is text, maybe form a group text with two or three of your closer bridesmaids and be like, so I'm trying to figure out like this, the, bachelorette, like, could you help me figure like with a few of these decisions, or would you mind helping me like plan this part of it or something like that? Like, I think it's okay to ask someone for help on like a task, but I don't think it's okay to be like, well, you just take on this whole trip and now it's like your responsibility.
I agree. I think in the movies and stuff, it like about weddings, we see like maid of honor is planning the entire wedding and the bachelorette and the like that. That's a historic, or that's a, I keep using the word historic. That's a, fake thing. Like that literally only happens in movies. In real life, like the bride kind of is expected to plan everything, and there are some cases where like I'm sure some bridal parties have super helpful maid of honors who truly like take on ownership of the bachelorette. But I agree with you, it's like you definitely have to like take on if no one is
just like inserting themselves into that position, then I think that you, like, she did a good job starting and planning it. And I think that's like great. I would just, again, I would text a couple people, maybe in a group text, and be like, I can't decide what we should do for like the actual events of the bachelorette. Like, what do you guys think we should do? And then that sort of like is gauging their opinion without being like, and plan it.
Right. I love the idea of delegating like tasks to specific people too. Like if you're, for example, if you're going to Miami and you know that you want a boat day where like you guys rent a boat and go out on a boat, like maybe give the boat to one person and be like, so-and-so, can you kind of be in charge of like figuring out the boat situation, just that one thing? And if they're happy about it, then yes.
Right. And also make it like, if you can't, I would give them an out too. Be like, if you can, or you're too busy, or you don't have time, that's totally fine. I was just wondering if you might be interested, or like if you would be down to help with this part, because I know you're great at planning whatever. But also, like, again, it's not, I wouldn't feel entitled to it. I would just ask in a way that doesn't make it seem like you're expecting it.
Totally.
And then to her friend who's leaving early, I think it's totally fine to shoot her a text and be like, hey, like, found out you're leaving early. Like, that's totally fine. I just kind of like wish you had told me, just because I didn't know. And then I was like very surprised, and I just want to make sure like everything runs smoothly. So just let me know next time. And I think that would be like fine. You don't have to make it into a huge deal. If it bothered you, I think it's okay to say something. Also, like, maybe she doesn't know that she's definitely doing that, but she might have to. So she didn't want to tell you until she was sure. That's another possibility. So I would just open the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the friend who told the bride.
Yeah. Very, gossipy.
Yeah.
Room block info. Like an idiot, I put our website info on the back of our save the dates and sent them out last September. Is it de classe to send an email with links to the room block and reservation information, just reminding everyone our wedding is still on and to book travel accommodations? We're getting married in Santa Barbara and 60% of our guests are out of town, i.e. back east or out of state. What are you doing? Because I know you have a room block sitch.
Yeah. So on the save the dates, I like put the my wedding website link there with the room blocks. And I kind of like texted people on the side and was like, hurry up and book. Like, it's, here's the link. Followed up with some people. I don't think it's weird or tacky for her to send an email, honestly. I think we're in COVID times. Everything's uncertain. Everybody's getting very like unconventional with how they're communicating to their guests. And I think if anything, people will appreciate it more than thinking it's like weird. As long as you're like getting them that information that they need, I don't think they'll really care much how you do it. But I mean, you could send an email, or sometimes with wedding stuff, I've liked text. Like I have different group texts, like one for my dad's side of the family, one for my mom's side, like, you know, friends and stuff. So that's where I'm doing that kind of stuff and reminding people. But if an email is easier,
is she sending out an invitation too? Yeah, I think a paperless, anything that you want to like remind people of is also like a good like paperless. I don't know if she's sending out an invitation, but like you could send in the invitation with a link to like, with a link to the what the room booking website in there. I assume that would be fine. Yeah.
No, I think that's what people normally do. Like you have the link to your site on the wedding invitation. I think for her, she might be saying like, I need to send that out sooner than the invitation.
Okay.
But if she doesn't need to wait, if you listener, if you're listening to this, if you don't need to wait, I would say do it on the invitation because that's like the normal thing to do.
And if you can't wait, I agree. Either send out a text or an email, maybe like a very informal email to anyone that you know like would definitely be coming who hasn't booked. I think you can send out like an informal just reminder. Like if you can't wait for the invitation to do that, I think that's fine. I don't think anyone is going to think anything of it, especially with this year.
Right.
Last question, bridal shower. My future mother-in-law offered to throw me a bridal shower back when we first got engaged. I said yes, but I haven't followed up. Should I? I want to include her and let her do that since it sounded like she really wanted to. Twist. My stepmom wants to throw a shower with her family and then my mom would do one with her friend, with my friends. I live out of state and my stepmom and mom can't be in the same room. They both said they would be open to doing a joint family one in California, but I think it probably would be best to avoid any drama. Wishing you both so much love.
Okay. I think there's no problem in following up on that.
I think she should evaluate if she wants two bridal showers, and if she does, or she's something she would be excited and looking forward to, then you can remind her and be like, mm-hmm. Hey, I just wanted to know if we were still wanted to do this bridal shower. But if you don't really care, then like, and you kind of feel like it's unnecessary, I would like let it go.
Right. And I would maybe go back to her and say like, hey, I know you had mentioned way back when that you wanted to throw me a bridal shower. I don't want to because my now stepmom wants to throw me one. Let's just do one. I would confront. My new motto is confrontation, by the way. Like I would just confront it so that there's no doubt, so that she doesn't swoop in at the last second and be like, hey, what about me? I wanted to throw you one. I remember when I mentioned it. Like I would like you though. I agree. I would first decide what you want. Do you want one or two? And then I personally wouldn't want two. That's a lot. And then go about it that way.
Yeah. Are there going to be like three showers? Like, so she said my future mother-in-law wants to throw her a shower. And then her stepmom wants to throw her a shower. And then her mom also wants to do one with her friends. Like,
but her stepmom and mom can't be in the same room.
So she's going to have three then. The one for her future mother-in-law, the one for her mom, and the one for her stepmom. That to me sounds like a nightmare. But if she's into that, maybe say it. Or I think you can say like, hey, if you're talking to your future mother-in-law, you could say, and you don't want three, I think you could say, hey, I'm sure you know, like there's a little tension between my mom and my stepmom. So they're going to do separate showers. So I'm already doing those two. If you still want to throw me one, that's like, I would like gladly attend and would be so appreciative, but I also like do not need that at all. So if you do not feel any pressure to do so, like I would like say it, letting her off the hook and just letting her know that there are already going to be two other ones.
Right. I would also just be like, can we, like, how many people are you guys inviting to these three bridal showers? I would be like, can we take the guest list that you were planning on inviting and combine it with one of the, with my stepmom's or my mom's?
She's out of state. Her family lives out of state, I think. So it was like a convenience thing. I mean, if people want to throw you events and you don't, it doesn't bother you and you like to have more events, then like, sure, let them have three bridal showers, especially if you don't, everyone doesn't need to go to all three. It's like very different family members. That might be a good COVID thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would ask yourself, like, do I want three? If I want three, then follow up with your mother-in-law and see if she's still into doing it. And if you are over it, I would give her an easy out and see if she takes the bait there.
Right, right. My sister's like making me have a bridal shower. I like decided there's so much going on this summer and everything. I was like, I don't need one. And my sister was like, yes, you do. We're having one. And I was like,
that's
okay.
Fun. Well, at least she'll take care of it all. That's nice.
Yeah. I said, well, you're pregnant with your second child. So you going to take on this?
If she wants to take it on, I think that's not, you said that, I'm sure, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
If she,
I was like, you got this.
That's sweet.
She's also moving. I don't know if it'll actually happen. So stay tuned.
Unpopular opinions. Let's do those.
Yes. First one, it's okay to be a bridezilla.
I disagree mostly, but I think you can pick like two or three things that you were a bridezilla about that you acknowledge mm-hmm. are irrational, that mean a lot to you, and that you want a particular way. I don't think you can do that with everything, but I think it's okay to pick like a couple things that you want a very particular way and be annoying about them.
Right. Like, this makes me think, like, what I think that is the definition of bridezilla. Like, you're super particular about things and need them a certain way and like will not budge. So we'll go with that. I agree. I think you can pick a couple things, but like, and I know we joke about like empower you to do whatever you want. It's your wedding. Right. And I still agree with that. Like, I think it's okay to know what you want and want things a certain way. It is your big day. It is your wedding. It's only one day of your life. I do think that it's not okay. I just like, don't be a bridezilla because you, like all the time though, because you'll stress yourself out. This is like at the end of the day, this is supposed to be about love. It's supposed to be like fun. And so if you do take on that, like I'm a bridezilla mentality too much, like it'll just.
Right. I wouldn't let that become who you are.
Right.
Right. And I think if you're going to be a bridezilla about something, you should be very self-aware about it.
Yes.
For instance, being like, let's say your bridesmaids have shown you a color that is slightly off from the color that you wanted. A bridezilla would say, I need it to look exactly how I want it to look, right? Mm-hmm. That's in her head. I think you can say to your friend, hey, I know the difference is really small and it may seem like I'm being irrational, but this, I'm like sort of compulsive about this thing. It's like a me thing. I get that it like seems absurd, but would you do me this like favor and get a color that's slightly more in line with what I was thinking? I know it seems crazy, but like it would mean a lot to me. I think as long as you're like, you're being self-aware about it and you're being like, again, acknowledging that you're being a little absurd, you can do that a couple of times.
I agree. And I think too, like, I know we're very pro bride. Like we stick up for the bride first and foremost here on this podcast. And like, we also love vendors though too. And I think hardcore bridezillas, like if I were a wedding vendor, working with a hardcore bridezilla would be like impossible. And I get that, yeah, the bride, you're paying them. So you do feel like you can be a little bit of a bride. You can want things a certain way, but I think like at the end of the day, like, be kind. Don't be a total bridezilla. So 61% of our audience disagreed. So they're saying it's not okay to be a bridezilla. And then 39% of people agreed that it is okay to be a bridezilla. So most people agree with us.
Great.
It's not.
Okay. Only having beer and wine at the wedding sucks.
I agree. I mean, I get that some people do this because it is a more affordable option. I think I like weddings when there's a little bit of liquor options there. I love a tequila soda.
Here's the thing. Wine and beer open bar is better than no open bar.
Right.
So if that's all you can afford, that's better than nothing. Is it more ideal to have a full bar? Yeah. But like, I wouldn't say it sucks. You can still get a nice little wine buzz. But it's just one of those things you have to weigh like the pros versus the cons. I'm having three events, as I told you, welcome party, rehearsal dinner, and wedding. My welcome party is beer and wine only because it's just like a third event. And I kind of want it to be like full open bar, but it's just kind of like I don't care that much enough to like pay the difference.
Right,
and I'm already doing two other full bar events.
And that's a standard thing. A lot of people do that at like the rehearsal dinner or welcome party. It's just beer and wine. That's like very normal.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, everything, there's always an ideal and then there's like what your budget allows. So.
Right. I agree. This is a strong statement, like sucks. Maybe we change that one to.
It's not ideal. Agree. It's not ideal.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
61% again, agreed with this. And then 39% disagreed.
Okay. Can we stop with courtesy invites to people who will say no?
77% agreed and 23% disagreed. What do you think?
So I hate being invited to a wedding where like the person knows that I'm not coming, because then it's like, oh, I just like owe you a gift now. So I think that there, I think I agree to an extent. I think if you're unsure, it's nice to send the invite anyway, especially if you feel like they might be offended if they weren't. But if you know that there's no way they're coming at all, I could agree. You don't need to, like, it's annoying to get that invitation. If you're like, this person knows I'm not coming to their wedding.
Right, right. It's like, then why am I receiving an invite in the mail? I agree. I think, yeah.
Not always so black and white though, you know?
That's the thing. Like, I'm trying to think in terms of my own list, like, if there's anybody we know will definitely, I honestly think like, I think there's like one of Mike's, like, it's like a great, great aunt or something. I don't know. Like one of his, that his mom was like, just invite her, she won't come. And so like, other than that,
I think it's the kind of thing where it's like, if their feelings could be hurt because they weren't, like, why not? You know what I mean?
Right, right. If they're like, I think in our case, somebody, I forget exactly who, but it's somebody who's like super old. So that's why we're thinking that they might not come, they're like still family. They still like would love an invite. And like sometimes the older people like actually giving a gift.
That's like all they need to like spend their money somewhere.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that. I also think like, I read this somewhere also, that if you're invited to a wedding and you are so not close with the person that you're like, I have no idea why they would possibly invite me. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot give a gift and not go because you have no desire to maintain that relationship with that person.
I think the
gift is nice if you have any desire at all to maintain a relationship with someone. But if it is so, like, if you haven't spoken to them in years and you got an invitation, I think you can decline without a gift. It's not necessary.
Right, right. I agree. Cool. Well,
those are unpopular opinions. I think we really hashed them out. What do you think?
I think we did. Those are fun. Guys, keep submitting them. We'll do them like weekly on the Instagram per usual. But, you know, even if you just think of one randomly one day, email us at brides@betches.com. And keep emailing your questions there because we love reading them. Honestly, it makes me think my life is easier when I'm reading about your guys' problems.
We love these questions. Keep them coming. Mm-hmm. brides@betches.com, brides@betches.com. Follow us on Instagram @betchesbrides. Nicole is incredible at running our Instagram. It's not only informative, but it is also really funny. So it takes the edge off while actually helping you learn a thing or two, which is, I think,
that should be our new tagline. Not only informative, but also very funny. I love that. You guys, stay tuned. Go shop our betches.co/brides merch. Our brides merch is so exciting. And let me just tell you, we have some new merch coming soon. I don't know exactly when, but it's like time for new merch. So stay tuned. And buy the ones we have right now, too.
Buy the ones we have right now. And then you guys will be like the second to know about our new merch, probably. Not the first, but the second.
Yes.
Anyway, till death do us part.
The Betches Brides podcast is produced by Nicole Pellegrino, Sean Kilby, and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Brides and send us your emails to brides@betches.com. Betches.